Sports Interview with Anne Liguori is brought to you by IB Cool Athleisure Wear for men and women. Technology meets fashion with IB Cool, stylish UPF 50 plus sun protection, and ice field technology to cool your body temperature on hot and humid days. Look great and protect your skin. IBKUL.com. And by Tourism Ireland. Discover world-class links and breathtaking landscapes. Experience golf where it all began. Plan your dream trip to Ireland today at ireland.com/golf. And by Aer Lingus, the Irish flag carrier. Renowned for its warm Irish hospitality and exceptional service, Aer Lingus flies to Ireland from 19 gateways across North America. For more information and to secure a great fare, visit aerlingus.com. I am in Toronto and very excited to see Coldplay in concert, but even more exciting is having dinner with the legendary Alex Lifeson, Hall of Fame guitarist for the band Rush, and so many other things that we hopefully will talk about. Hey, Alex.
Hi, Anne. It's great to see you again. It's been a couple of years, I think.
I know. It has been a couple of years. What have you been up to since we honored you at our charity golf event in the Hamptons a couple of years ago? Yeah. It's so great to reconnect with you.
I think when I saw you, we were just releasing an album for Envy of None, the first album, which went well. The experience was great. It was just a recording project for musicians getting together and making a record. It took us about a year to make that record, but it was a really satisfying experience working with, you know, different artists, particularly Maya Wynn, the singer, who was just absolutely amazing. We started the second record soon after the release of the first one, and we spent a little over a year working on that record too, which was released in March, and that's called Stygian Waves. That's the second record, and I think we really kind of developed into more of a band with that record. It wasn't so much just this project. There's just a unity in the material, the way the songs were developed. There's great variety. Each song is really quite different from the other, and I think the underlying connection is Maya's voice, which is absolutely spectacular, and her lyrics are wonderful. So for me, you know, coming at the end of the Rush experience in 2015, it was nice to get into something that I could really sink my teeth into and really do what I know how to do, rather than just sitting around trying to play golf, which I don't know how to do. I'm learning as I get older. That was really, really a great experience doing that. And I've been working on another project with a group of musicians for a documentary about the Great Lakes, and a very interesting kind of concept. And it was all jam based, and we had hours and hours and hours of material that we went through, and we've created some really beautiful sounding instrumental music on its way to, you know, becoming an album. Hopefully by the early fall that'll be done, and we're looking at possibly doing a couple of dates as well. Just very, again, very spontaneous, improvisational kind of music, but it's just another dimension, you know. I feel like I've been reborn with all the music projects that I'm doing now, because it was really kind of quiet for me, and I was trying to find my way. And what am I going to do? Am I just going to be a part-time golfer for the rest of my years, or what? And this has thrust me right back into it, and I'm working on all these projects, and I'm playing a little less golf, and I don't know. I don't think that's such a bad thing. I mean, I'm still playing a couple times a week on average, so that's not too bad. But I could use a break. Golf's hard.
Golf is very, very hard, for sure. The last time you were on my show, Alex, on Talking Golf, Neil Peart had just passed. It was probably a couple months after that happened. And you were very sad, obviously. He was like a brother to you, and very open on the show, and said you just didn't have it in you to pick up the guitar.
Yeah, that's true. It's you know, when Neil's daughter died in a car accident in 97, it was the same thing. You know, we shut it down, and I just had no interest in a lot of things, especially something like music, which is such a passionate spiritual thing. When he passed 5 years ago, 5.5 years ago, it was the same thing. It just it really had no drive to play for about a year. And then I came out of it, and I find grieving, I've had so much experience at grieving now in my adult life that I kind of have it sort of figured out. For me, I commit to a year of grief, and then it's time to move on. And you can still pay tribute to the person that you've lost, the memory. It's fewer tears and more smiles, I think, what happens after a period. And certainly that's the way. You know, we're always looking at some sort of tribute to Neil in our daily lives, Getty and I both. We, you know, Getty and I get together a lot. You know, we're really, really close friends. And we have not lost an iota of love for our lost brother. And we celebrate him as much as we can.
It must have felt so good to get back in the studio and to play, as you say, for that envy of none and even jamming with Getty.
Oh, absolutely. Like I said, I mean, that's what I've grown up with. You know, Getty and I have been friends since we were 13. We started the band when we were 15 years old, and that's been our whole life work. Neil was kind of done, you know, at the end of the tour. It's understandable. His job was way harder than ours. He played at 110%, like every gig. And he got to a point in his early 60s where physically playing a 3-hour show at that intensity was becoming too difficult. And he would not accept 99.9%. It had to be 100 or 110 in his case. So that was understandable, but it was difficult for us, for Getty and I, to kind of accept that was it. We still had lots of gas in the tank, and I'm sure we talked about this way back then, but so we've always kind of lived with that for the last 10 years. So for me to get back into the studio, I just feel I'm where I belong, and it's a rebirth for me in a lot of ways. I just feel so excited with playing, and I'm playing a lot, and it feels good. My fingers feel good. I missed it. I missed that feeling. So I'm loving it.
Do you think you'll go out on tour at all? Do you think about it?
Oh, yeah. We think about all that stuff. But, you know, who knows? I've got my hands full with so many things right now. So I don't know about that in particular, but... you know, you never know where life is going to take you. That's what I've come to realize. Like, every day is a different day, and opportunities come and go, and you take some and you skip on some, and you just see whatever kind of fits, feels right at the time. So right now I got a whole bunch of right stuff. So I'm pretty happy with that.
And so how much golf can you play?
So, you know, I was typically playing 3 or 4 times a week. And, you know, a couple of years ago, I was usually 5, you know, when we had our place in the country, I was playing 5 days a week, easily 5 days a week. I'm playing probably on average, two or 3 days. I mean, this month is pretty filled up with golf. Last month, hardly any at all. And August is starting to fill up. So I'm sure I'll get to my, you know, 3-round, 4-round quota. But, you know, as we were talking many times, golf is such a very, very difficult sport. There's so many things that are counterintuitive about it, so much stuff to remember, so much of it is getting out of the way of it, and so much of it is you absolutely can't help yourself to get in the way of it. You know, I was saying to you... on the range, I'm easily a 2-3 handicap on the range. I can pick targets. I can hit to those targets. I don't have, you know, I'm 71. I don't have the same length that I had. But I get on the first tee, and I'm a basket case, like over and over and over without fail. It's such an infuriating game.
Can you bring anything from music to golf?
Well, you know, the tempo is, I hear this from everybody I play with. Oh, you're a musician. You know everything about tempo. Why don't you have great tempo? And I think about that all the time, and I'm not quite sure what great tempo is. I get the concept of what it is, and often, my swing, I'm told, you have beautiful tempo. It's nice and smooth and easy. I'm swinging as hard as I can, like... I'm not even thinking about tempo, but I understand it. And if you want to get your hips to move, if you want to get your shoulders to turn, you have to have the right tempo. If it's too fast, things are out of sequence. The hands are too quick. Casting, major problem for me. But I don't know where that spot is between too slow and smooth. You know, the difference between fast and hard. Because you want to hit the golf ball hard, but you don't want to be too fast. It is an unbelievable game.
It keeps you out there, right? The challenge keeps you going.
I know. And that's the other thing. How many times have you come down 18 and you have the best hole of the round on 18? Because they know. They want to get you back out on the golf course soon.
Favorite golf memory, what would you say?
Geez, I've had so many, you know. I've played with Rocco Mediate so many times. I had him up to Coppinwood, the club that I was a member at. He was there for four of our member guests, and it was just awesome. He's such a personable guy. Everybody absolutely adored him, and he made himself available to everybody like he always does. He's a remarkable guy. I've had some great rounds with Lee Jansen and Mark Calcavecchia. I heard from Mark the other day. We stay in touch. We keep threatening to get together sometime soon, and I would like to do that. So, like, you know, I have those memories from that other generation of golfers. I had Dave Hampstead. He's a local comedian here. I brought him down to your tournament a couple of years ago, and I played with Dave a lot. And he's a really good golfer. You've seen him play, and but he's also so funny. So I don't know. Some holes I'm crying so hard from laughing that I can't even swing the club. So every game is a memorable game except for the ones that aren't. You know what I mean?
I love that quote. Can we use that one?
Sure.
Well, I know you golf in Ireland and probably Scotland. And do you like links golf?
Yeah, I love it, especially over there where it's the true links. You know, you have that experience here and there on this side of the ocean. Some courses that make themselves like that and some that are naturally like that. But over there, there's a plethora of those sort of linksy courses, and they all have very individual characters. We were talking about the Island course just outside of Dublin. Wow, is that is truly links, like right to the core. And it's just such a visually enchanting setting to be playing in Royal County Down. We played there on a very gray, misty day, and it was magical. Honestly, magical. There was fog in up on the mountain, and the green and the course was so green and purple, and the heather, and it was just stunning. And that's what golf provides for you, just this incredible environment to chase that little ball around in.
It really does. The scenic beauty of the golf courses, one's more beautiful than the next. Now, you and I met a number of years ago at Robbie Krieger's celebrity tournament. So I'm going to ask you if you could put together a foursome of, say, some of your closest musician friends, who would it be?
Oh, okay. So I have to think about that one. I played with Alice a lot, and Alice is great. It's a great golf partner. He's a very fascinating guy. He has great stories. And he's quite talented as a golfer. You know how important golf is to him, to his whole life. I'd probably get Alice in there. And Robbie's a king. I love Robbie so much. He's we've become really, really good friends. And I never expected that to happen. You know, you meet people and you have a nice time together and you sort of move on. But we've stayed in touch. I go out and I play at his events whenever I can. It's, you know, always for a good cause, for St. Jude's, among other things. And then we jam, and he gets me to jam with other people. He took me out the last time I was there. We went out a couple of nights, just on off nights, and he took me to clubs where people were playing, and we got up on stage and jammed with them. I mean, I don't really do stuff like that so much, but he kind of forced me into doing it, and I loved it. And we play together, and I'm looking at him. You know, I grew up with the Doors, so I'm looking at the guitar player of the Doors, and I'm like, oh, this is awesome, standing beside the guitar player of the Doors. We're playing guitar together. So that's a magical thing. So he would definitely be the third. And then the fourth, Tom Cochran. Tom Cochran is a Canadian artist. Life is a Highway. It was his big... Well, one of his big hits, but probably the biggest one that your audience would recognize. Tom and I play a lot. We do a trip to Arizona every February. We play Whisper Rock and Estancia and Silver Leaf. We're there for a week together. We get together here locally and play a little bit over the summer. But he's a great golfer and also a great storyteller. So that would be a really awesome foursome.
That would be a fabulous foursome. Can I tag along? Can I caddy?
Of course.
Now, you're a golfer in addition to, obviously, one of the top guitarists in the world, a producer, a pilot, a painter. How would you rank these activities, would you say, in terms of passion?
Well, I think I'm passionate about all of them when I do them. I was doing paintings annually for the Kidney Foundation here in Canada, and they had a program where they got celebrities to do paintings, and it started out as a very basic thing. They send you a small little, not a canvas, really a board, and a little platelet of color paints, of acrylic paints, and you know, a couple of brushes. So the first year I did that, and I thought, screw this. I went out and I spent thousands of dollars buying paints, and I got every shade of every color. I got the best brush. Like, I really did a number. I got proper canvases, and I started taking it much more seriously. Every time I do it, and I spend, 4 to 6 weeks on a piece, every time I do it, I just feel so gratified that I did it. And I don't know why I don't do it more regularly. Like, life gets in the way of some things, and painting for me is one of the things. I would do a lot more of it, and I hope to eventually. Flying, I don't do very much flying anymore. I always believe that you have to be proficient in flying. You can't just be a fair weather flyer if you're going to be serious about it. It's very easy to kill yourself in an airplane. I was gung-ho for probably the first few decades after I got my license in 1980, and I flew and I on the road. I used to take crew guys flying, but because I traveled so much, I never bothered getting an airplane. So I didn't make that commitment in that way. So I enjoyed the whole flying experience, the whole pilot experience, but I guess I'm just not quite so passionate about that anymore.
So guitarist, golfer, painting, would that be the order?
I would say so, yeah, yeah.
See, I know you, Alex Lifeson. All right, so talk about getting into the ale business. I love those social media spots I'm seeing. There's one that's a non-alcoholic beer that you and Getty did this little spot on. It's called Your Turn to Drive. That was hysterical.
So the brewery is Henderson Brewery. They're here in Toronto. They're a boutique brewery, and they make a lot of products, and they're all really good. The quality is so excellent, and they're wonderful to work with. A few years ago, it was during COVID, there was the thought about maybe having our own beer. So we got together. Ged and I sampled about 25 beers, I think. Porters, ales, lagers, the whole gamut, and we settled on three, and of those three, the final one was the Canadian ale. It's delicious. It's done really, really well. But the fun thing is we decided to do these ads for our beer products, and they're like off the cuff. We don't rehearse them. We don't write them out. We just do a bunch of scenes and we goof around and joke around, and they've become so popular. I mean, it's like a new age in advertising that we've sort of latched onto. But the one that we did recently for the non-alcoholic beer is a particularly funny one. Yeah, they're all really, really kind of funny and fun.
And they're just off the cuff, right? You just make it up as you go.
Yeah, we pick a date, we go to the brewery, and, there's a couple of cameras and some lights, and what are we doing? Okay, this is for this. Okay, let's do that. And then we just throw out a bunch of ideas, and there's a little bit of editing involved, but there's really a lot of fun to do.
And you have a mustard, too, the Rush Golden Ale Mustard.
Oh, yeah, the mustard, the Sluskas, the mustard is fantastic. It's made with our beer. It's really, really delicious.
I can't wait to try that, too. I'm seeing all this stuff you've done. Okay, final two questions. Of all the songs you wrote or co-wrote, Alex, I know it's like picking your favorite kid, which is impossible. What one would you say is most meaningful to you?
It is like picking a child. But I would say if I had to pick one song, it would be the last song on the last record, which was The Garden. And it's a very poignant song. I think that song really meant a lot to Neil, and it was ironic that he became ill, and a lot of the things that he touched on in the garden were very connected to his illness and his death. So that one always sticks with both of us deep down.
I mean, Working Man, Anthem, In the Mood, The Spirit of Radio. There's just so many.
Yeah, there's lots of them.
What is out there that you yet have to do? That anything in your mind that you just haven't tried yet that you just have to do?
I don't know if I feel like I'm lacking anything in my life. I have a fantastic family. My grandkids are grown up now, and one's in college, and the other one's got his own business, and I just celebrated my 50th anniversary a few months ago. I'm playing guitar for 3 hours a day. There's a good balance in my life. I don't feel like I'm missing anything. I think my bucket's pretty empty, I have to admit. And it's a good feeling because I feel energized and I feel like there's so much ahead of me. And some of it is the same old stuff, and some of it's a little different, but it's the activity that counts. It's the propulsion, the movement forward that life is all about.
Any holes in ones?
I have one hole in one.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then you've done it all.
I have done it all.
Alex Lifeson, thank you so much. What a pleasure to reconnect. Really enjoyed our time together.
Yeah. I love seeing you, Anne. It's great to see you.
Thank you. Sports Interview with Anne Liguori is brought to you by IB Cool Athleisure Wear for men and women. Technology meets fashion with IB Cool, stylish UPF 50 plus sun protection, and ice field technology to cool your body temperature on hot and humid days. Look great and protect your skin. IBKUL.com. And by Tourism Ireland. Discover world-class links and breathtaking landscapes. Experience golf where it all began. Plan your dream trip to Ireland today at ireland.com/golf. And by Aer Lingus, the Irish flag carrier. Renowned for its warm Irish hospitality and exceptional service, Aer Lingus flies to Ireland from 19 gateways across North America. For more information and to secure a great fare, visit airlingus.com.